Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
As always, little ears warning. And remember, you can catch this chat on our podcast. Yes, after the show, we have a podcast. Just go to Apple or Spotify, wherever you look at your podcasts, and search Jennifer Zamparelli. Now, this week, if you're lucky enough to listen live, you are in for a treat. Because this week, it's time to answer your questions, which have come in to us on our email, jen@rte.ie. I'm delighted to be joined by our resident sex therapist, Rachel Cook. Good morning.
Hiya, Jen. How's it going?
Grand. How's things?
Very good. And look, we've got a load of questions, haven't we?
Oh my God. We always get so much in when we want to do a Q&A and quite random stuff. So just to let you guys know, we will be doing these on a regular basis. So there, nothing is off the table. If there's anything you want us to discuss, just email us, jen@rte.ie. We'll kick off with this one. This person says, can you use coconut oil as lube or is that a myth?
Oh, you can definitely use coconut oil as lube. You know, it basically makes a good cooking oil. It's a good moisturizer, makeup remover. It's very moisturizing. It has antimicrobial and antifungal properties. So it makes a great lube for most people. It doesn't get clumpy like some lubes can. But you do have to be very aware the coconut oil should not be used with latex condoms because it is an oil. And as with all oil-based lubes, artificial or natural, the oil in coconut oil can potentially degrade the latex in a condom. So the only time that you can do that is if the condom is made from polyurethane, which is a different kind of condom. And then also I would say, a lot of people love coconut oil, but for some people who are prone to vaginal infections, such as yeast infections, you know, thrush, for them, sometimes they find that coconut oil isn't the greatest because it's antibacterial and antifungal, it has the potential to disrupt the pH balance of a vagina. So, you know, basically try it out. And if it doesn't work for you, don't use it. If it does, fantastic. Enjoy it.
Okay. Someone else says, hi, Jen and Rachel. Looking for help regarding my girlfriend. Every time she gets near climax, she cramps, and this happens every time. All I want is for her to have the same experience I do. Unfortunately, she doesn't pleasure herself or use any toys. Is there anything I or even my girlfriend can do to prevent the cramping so we can enjoy sex even more together? Thanks, Anonymous.
Oh, so this is an interesting one because we don't know from what this person has messaged in much about these cramps. You know, there's a lot of things that could be. Do they mean it could be a cramp in her side because what they're doing is very vigorous? She's moving around a lot and maybe she's literally getting, you know, a muscular cramp from moving around so much, in which case, slow it down. It could be, you know, for some people, they get a mild sense of discomfort or feeling like they need to, that they might pee when they're about to squirt. That's what happens for some people. I would say, though, what's most noticeable to me there is that she said she doesn't masturbate. She doesn't pleasure herself. And so I would definitely talk to her about why she doesn't masturbate. Now, obviously, people aren't obliged to, but in general, you know, kind of claiming your own pleasure and having that sort of, autonomy and knowledge and awareness around how your own body works and how you enjoy pleasure can help a huge amount. So I would say definitely start there. Talk to her about why she doesn't masturbate. Ask her what she'd need to feel more comfortable to be able to pleasure herself. And then there's also the possibility, you know, I would say probably what we're talking about is just stress from not being familiar with climaxing. However, there's also the possibility that it could be a shame or even a trauma response. And there could also be a physical issue there. So I would, you know, chat about those things and then also look into potentially going and seeing, you know, a GP probably won't be able to give you much information to begin with, but they can certainly signpost you to someone who could do a physical examination because there's also the possibility that there's something physical going on.
Okay. Can you have sex while pregnant, this texter says?
You most definitely can, you know, whenever you like, however much you like. You might find that certain positions are more or less comfortable as time goes on in your pregnancy. You might also find that your libido fluctuates a lot. There might be times where you're really up for it and times when you couldn't think of anything worse. And you might also find that you enjoy certain sexual activities more than others. So just being aware that might change a lot. It certainly can in everyday life. But I think especially with the physical changes on hormones and the emotional, you know, experience and preparation of being pregnant. It very good to have really, really, really good communication with your partner about that.
I cheated on my boyfriend when I was out 2 weeks ago. I love him so much and I can't believe I did it. It meant nothing, but I got carried away and didn't go the full way, but some of the way. Does Rachel think I should tell him? He will definitely dump me, so I really don't want to. This is the one I want to marry. I feel so awful.
Oh, putting it down to me.
Yeah, you make the decisions around here.
That's what I do. So, I would say work out whether there's anything missing in your relationship or if your esteem is low. And if either of those is the case, work on that, because sometimes people cheat because there's something, you know, really lacking in their relationship, or just that their own self-esteem is in a bad place. And so that needs to be worked on. Also, when this person has said that they got carried away, what does that mean? Was it going OTT with alcohol or drugs that led to this? If so, might want to look at that. What was going on there? But basically, I would say if it's only the once and it was a genuine mistake, I'm generally of the opinion that you don't need to share that. If it's more than once, the person deserves to know that this is a pattern for you so that you can both decide what's right for both of you. But I would say if it's just the once and it was a genuine mistake, often sharing that with your partner is about relieving your guilt, and it comes at the expense of the partner. You know, of course, honesty is important with relationships. And, you know, it's a big hallmark of intimacy that you feel you can trust and respect and be honest with each other. But I think that, you know, if it's a one time genuine mistake, unburdening yourself may lead to all sorts of things that you don't want. So once again, very different if you're having an affair, because that involves a repeated set of choices that you have made, and it indicates a problem within the relationship or within yourself or both. So yeah, then you need to, you probably, you know, go into therapy around that. However, one other thing is if a partner suspects that you've been cheating and asks directly, I think it's very important to tell the truth, because covering up and lying about it usually makes things worse, especially for the person who's been cheated on. So hopefully that's sort of clear.
Okay, great advice. I found a condom in my son's wallet. He's 15. Can you please give advice on how to talk to him about this? I don't want him having casual sex. He doesn't have a girlfriend.
Ooh, so I would ask this person, okay, well, what constitutes casual sex to them? I would reflect on why they don't want their son having you know, casual sex specifically. I would do some reflection work there on where maybe your attitudes towards sex have come from, because, you know, maybe this person is saying this because they're worried about sexual health. Maybe they're worried about their son getting someone pregnant if they're sleeping with people with vaginas. You know, there could be all sorts of things here. But I would say if it's that you want to talk to him about consent, being responsible, STIs, definitely do that, but be aware of lecturing and shaming him. I think it's wonderful that your son is carrying protection rather than leaving it up to chance that whoever he has sex with might have a condom themselves. You know, it's very responsible to be prepared to practice, you know, safer sex. I often say there's no such thing as safe sex other than abstinence, but safer sex, protected sex. You know, the best thing you can do here is have an open dialogue with your son and make yourself someone that he can trust, not someone who he believes is going to be telling him off. Because as we know, you know, you telling him that you don't want him having casual sex is very unlikely to make him not have casual sex if that's what he's doing. However, having an open dialogue with him about different risks and what he knows and how he might get more education and be responsible, that I think is a fantastic thing. But certainly carrying a condom is not a problem.
Okay. Here's a loaded one. I am, or was previously, a straight man who sometimes watched and enjoyed gay porn. Since the pandemic, I'm starting to feel more attracted to guys, which has freaked me out a bit. Could the porn have turned me gay? Could it just be a phase after the isolation of lockdown?
No, so this is, I've been hearing this actually from a couple of people. You know, there's no evidence-based research as of yet, but throughout the pandemic, actually a huge amount of people have been coming out as different gender identities and sexualities, both to themselves and others. And basically, you know, the fear, which I think is a kind of a leftover hangover stigma of shame around, you know, being anything other than heterosexual and how that relates to, you know, religion and ignorance and just fear of people being different. You know, what we're discovering is actually it's much more that people have had a lot of time to reflect on how they might have been conforming beforehand to what they were told was the right way to be, that they might have been performing for other people, and that they've really had to kind of, they've had the time to look at themselves through, you know, one of the obvious massive downsides of COVID was the amount of isolation that people experienced, whether that was literally on their own or stuck, you know, with their partner or families. But that it's led to a lot of people really, really taking that time to reflect.
Reflection, you know,
having that,
yeah.
Having that distraction of, you know, commuting and going to, out on nights out and dinners out and to events and sports and all of that. Mm. So it definitely, the pandemic is definitely not going to have turned this person bisexual or gay. You know, it's like isolation does not change your sexuality. What it can do is make you a lot more open to the idea. You know, and this is what people are saying to me. There's a lot bigger issues in the world than whether the person you are attracted to or have sex with has a penis or a vagina or, you know, whatever genitalia they've got. So basically, I think people are becoming more open minded, and something like watching porn could certainly contribute to your mind being more open, but it's not going to change your sexuality. So no, the porn has not changed this person's sexuality.
I'm a female, been with my male partner for 5 years, but I cannot start sex at all. Could it be because of abuse as a child? Any help or advice on this, Anonymous?
So how this person has worded that, you know, I would say most definitely not feeling able to initiate sex can be down to abuse as a child. You know, and if this person did experience abuse or suspects that they might have and can't particularly, you know, can't remember, but feels like that might have been a possibility, then I would highly, highly recommend speaking to a professional. You know, you can go to the Psychological Society of Ireland, the Irish Association for Counselling and Psychotherapy, the Irish Association of Humanistic and Integrative Psychotherapy. They're all, yeah, they all have websites and directories for people. But basically, I would say talk to your partner about how they can make it easier for you. Talk about anything that makes you uncomfortable or is triggering. You know, read up about what even is a trigger. It's basically anything that makes you feel very anxious, confused, upset, numb, checked out, frozen, or shut down. You know, and really you want to work out with your partner how to base sex on pleasure rather than performance, that we want sex to be an expression of pleasure, fun, creativity and love, rather than something that you do because you feel that you have to, because you feel that you should, because it's normal, or that you feel you have to in order to, you know, have your partner stay with you. So, yeah, I would say, you know, it's really not uncommon for memories and difficulties relating to sexual abuse to reappear during sexual contact as an adult. So you need to place an emphasis on slowly developing an understanding of, you know, how to prioritize safety and choice, becoming familiar and comfortable with your body, talking about and how to talk about these topics yourself and with your partner, and being really clear about your partner's and your own sort of boundaries and limits. Everyone has a right to say no to things that don't feel comfortable or safe. And a lot of people who've experienced abuse find it very difficult to speak up and say no because they often go into a freeze response. Mm. So all of these things point to absolutely go and get the support of a professional to work through this, who is going to have heard it all before. There's no way you're going to shock them, and they can help you get to a much more comfortable and hopefully pleasurable place.
Hi, Jen and Rachel. I really want my hookups and relationships to be as consensual as possible. What are some good ways to discuss and establish consent when your communication is mostly online or digital?
Oh, I love this one. It's so modern. You know, I would say, OK, some templates, things that you can say, like, let's say you're chatting to someone on an app and you would like for that to be a bit sexier. You might say something like, hey, I'm loving chatting with you. What are your thoughts on exchanging sexy messages? That's a nice one to say. If in their profile they mention sex, like what they're into, you might say to them on your profile, you mentioned that you're into X. Would you be up for telling me more about that? That can be quite a nice one to say. Then maybe if you're chatting and it's starting to heat up, and you're kind of wanting to work out whether that person is up for having a bit of, you know, sexy, proper sex chat, you might say something like, our messages have been getting a little spicy. I love it. I'd love to know whether where you'd like us to take them next. If you're about to hook up with someone, you might message them and say, I'm so excited to meet up with you this week, just to check I'm really into XYZ. Is that your thing? So that can be a great way to get both on the same wavelength before you hook up. And then maybe if you want to send them some sexy pics, which might be when you've already hooked up with them afterwards, it might be before you hook up. A good thing to say is I'm feeling, use a fire emoji. I'm feeling fire today in my own body. Would you like me to share a pic with you? Not suitable for work.
Very good. Listen, we have a few more to get through. So I'm going to take a quick break and I'm going to come back with episiotomies and queefing. Don't go anywhere, lads. FM. Now, this is Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM, 11:39. We're back in sex therapy with Rachel Cook. She is on the line. Rachel, we have two more to get through, if that's okay. We took over a lot of time today. But this texter says, I had a baby 9 months ago, episiotomy, and completely terrified to have sex again. We've only tried twice. I need help.
Oh, so this person hasn't said if it was physically uncomfortable when they had sex, painful, or if it's more of an emotional fear response. It could be a combination of those. But either, whatever it is, go super slow. Your body may have changed after having a baby. And also with an episiotomy, you know, I have increasing numbers of people realizing that they weren't actually stitched right. Or even if they were stitched quite well, sometimes the wound didn't heal that well. So it can mean that now sex just feels different. And sometimes there are, you know, basically very small surgeries or exercises that you can do that a sex therapist will be able to talk to you about to make that feel much better. Mm. Because no one needs to go through life having, uncomfortable or painful sex. And far, far too many women, people with vaginas, accept, you know, this or are resigned to painful sex and either avoid sex or they put themselves through uncomfortable or painful sex, and no one needs to do that. So it's absolutely worth getting looked at by a specialist and, you know, basically recognizing that there absolutely can be loads of things that can be done there, and it's very common.
That's what they wanted to hear. There are things that can be done. Don't worry. You know, you don't have to feel pain when you're going through that. Email in. I have, let's say, quite an airy vagina. I feel like people hugely cringe at and mock queefing, but surely it's a normal and uncontrollable thing. Could there be something wrong? Is there anything I can do? One lad was quite nasty to me about it. Do you think I should tell new partners about it before I sleep with them?
Oh, this is such a, you know, I really feel for this person because this is something that is so rarely talked about. You know, I think that like queefing, which is basically air being expelled from a vagina, which can make a sound. It's very, very normal, extremely normal, very common, especially during sex. And there isn't really any way to prevent this from happening. You know, sex involves bodies and bodies do weird things sometimes. Even if queefing sounds like a fart, it's just air coming out that has been pushed in, usually by a penis or, you know, it could be a finger or a toy. So it's not other gases. It's not the same as a fart. You know, and queefing can happen during sex. It can happen during stretching, exercise. It's basically just trapped air. So, you know, some vaginas are naturally shaped in a way that increases the chances of air being held. And it can also be just as much to do with the position and also shape of the penis, if it's happening during sex between, someone with a vagina and someone with a penis, or the shape of a toy. And you defo don't need to
do
tell.
Do not blame the shape of a penis, not on this show. Not today, Rachel. Not after what I've been through.
Not after what you've been through today.
It's definitely not the penis's fault.
No, but
there is things. So positions would help that if you're worried about it. But this texter says, should I tell my new partners about it before I sleep with them? Do you think that is a thing to do?
Well, look, you definitely don't need to tell partners, but if it'll make you feel more comfortable, then definitely, you know, this is not something you need to feel ashamed of or try to explain. But if it does make you more comfortable, I've definitely had people tell me that they found it better to say, just FYI, I've quite an airy vagina, and have a laugh about it. You know, it's like, it doesn't need to be a big deal. It's not something that you can really control. It's not, you know, some people have this idea that it's, you know, would happen because your vagina is loose or because it's too dry or because it's too wet or because it's too tight. And it's like, your vagina is fine. it's fine, you know, unless there's obviously discomfort or pain, in which case see somebody about that. But I would say, you know, if it makes you feel more comfortable to share that with a partner, and if a person is going to be nasty to you, which is absolutely horrible, disrespectful behavior, you should definitely not be sleeping with them.
Absolutely. Rachel Cook, thank you so much for joining us today. I'll see you next week.
See you, Jen.
Thanks, love. There we go. That is our sex therapy slot done.
It's okay. You can all come out now because sex therapist Rachel has now left the building.
Still.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.